praise God. I'm very thankful tonight for a people that realize that church is not just a building and it's not just a place to visit occasionally, but that church is a way of life. And so many of you have made it just that, a way of life. And that makes what God needs to do much easier in this world. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, let's focus on 1 Samuel 13, verses 22 through 29. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 22 through 29. Praise God. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his sons, was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Praise God. Verse 24. No 24? Really? Is that the end of the chapter? What happened? Okay. All right. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up." Talking about Goliath. Everybody say Goliath. "And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter, make his father's house free in Israel." David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David was just told what was going to be given to him. And then he asked, "What shall be given as a result of killing this giant?" Sounds like he wasn't very interested in what was first offered. In verse 27, the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why'd you come down here? Why are you even here? And who sent you? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" In other words, you're just a little shepherd boy. Why are you even here? Amen. It's just like a brother to turn against a brother when the enemy is heating up. Amen. If you ever get calls of gossip, you get calls of people looking for information and trying to stir it up, why don't you just tell them, "Listen, I got enough of a situation with the devil I fight. I don't need to fight you." I'm willing for anybody to come up in this house and to help us fight the enemy that we war against. But when they try to pick us off while we're in battle, I don't have time for that. Do you? Good. This is what David's brother said. He said, "I know your pride. I know the naughtiness of your heart. You come down that you might see the battle." Well, Eliab needs to wake up and smell the coffee. There ain't no battle going on. He's too chicken. He had the same opportunity David had. And finally a man shows up, well, maybe even a little less than a man, to do battle against the enemy. And David said, "What have I now done?" And this is what he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to do this? I know you said you're going to give somebody riches. And I know that you said you're going to give the king's daughter." David wound up with the king's daughter and wished he never had. read the story. And so, but David, he looked beyond that and he said, is there not a cause? Praise God. And the Lord has already done a great work in the house, and I'm just going to take a very few minutes here, but I want to share a word with you for a few moments. And I just want to talk about, where's David? Where is David? The prophet of God came to anoint somebody to be future king of Israel. And he looked at every one of the sons, and in his mind, he said, surely this is the one. Surely this is the one. Surely this is the one. And it was none of the sons that were brought up for the man of God to anoint to be king. And he looked at Jesse, their dad, and he said, is this all you got? And Jesse said, well, I got a little boy out there taking care of the sheep. You want to see him? He stinks. Yeah, bring him up. I like what Samuel said. He said, Jesse was trying to make him comfortable, I guess, and asked him to sit down and have a little cheese or something, whatever they did back then. But Samuel said, I will not sit down until he comes. That's a message there. I will not sit down until he comes. The man that baptized me in Jesus' name was an evangelist. And he traveled the country. Not many, just a few years after he baptized me or less, that he was in a terrible accident and in West Virginia, and he had a wreck, ran off the road, the camper he was pulling at his residence literally, and flipped the truck, threw him out. The truck rolled over him, and it broke his neck. He was paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. Died just a few years ago. He preached in our church in the old building, Brother Tim Carter. When he started evangelizing in that wheelchair, unable to move. His wife set up the camper. She set up everything, hooked up the truck, drove the truck, did everything in the world for him so he could travel and preach. His first sermon was this: I will not sit down until he comes. Someone that had to sit down still refused to sit down. It's going to look rough on those that want to sit down when they can stand up. And I want to preach for a little while. Where's David? Where is David? Lord, help us in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. They won't tell you. You will be able to tell by their fruits. In other words, you'll be able to tell by what they produce. What comes out of all the spirituality they've got. You will be able to see what's born out of that, what's nurtured out of that, what grows out of that, what matures out of that, and what becomes great out of them. They don't have to tell you that they are heroes. Mighty men and women are developed. Amen. And so in that developmental stage, you've got to begin with being born again. Amen. I'm facing tonight genuine people that love God, people that love truth, people that literally walk in the Spirit and follow after the mind of God. It is that kind of people that are born of water and of the Spirit that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wow. We know that the rock was not Simon Peter. We know that the rock was not a real rock. We know that the rock was Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we better be cautious and we better be careful. Amen. You may be educated. You may have a little money. You may be blessed. And you may have a lot going for you. Praise God. But understand this. God is calling people to be soul winners. And He's calling people to be rocks. And He's calling people to be solid apostolic people of revival and refreshing. And we got folks that are coming in on the van. We got folks that are coming in on the bus that are surpassing other folks in soul winning. They're surpassing other folks and bringing people to the house of God. You better be careful, because with all your spirituality and all of your education in the Bible, you're going to get left behind. Hallelujah. I'm asking tonight, where's David? He needs to be anointed again. He needs to be appointed again. The Spirit of God and the anointing of God needs to come upon him again. The giants are upon us. The enemy is upon us. And we need David again. David, we promise not to cut you down. We promise not to backbite against you. We promise not to tear you down. If anything, we're going to support you, because we need folks in every section of this church and on the platform to rise up and say, hey, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that has come against the church of the living God, that would blaspheme against the work of God? Is there not a cause? A young man, a young woman that will rise up, amen, a mom, a dad, an elderly, single, amen. Come on now, praise God. People that will just simply rise up and simply say, I'll be a David. You need a David? You got one right here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come before this world with the power of the Holy Ghost, with authority and dominion in the Spirit. And our tools may be antiquated, and they are antique because they've been around for over 2,000 years. But I don't care what scientific minds come up. What we've got, Brother Bolden, still works. It still works. It still brings revival. It still brings the house down. It still pours down the fire. And it still brings the anointing. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there's people here that take the challenge. It's the kind of people that are born of water and spirit. Verse 26 says, what shall we be done to the one that kills the giant? I'll tell you what David, I believe David was thinking about. He shall have the joy and the privilege of knowing that the reproach against the people of God is lifted. Amen. Once that giant was taken care of, it was open season on giants afterwards. You'll find that giants got killed. Giants were slaughtered. Giants were butchered. I'll tell you about another giant. Amen. And the only thing it talked about was his bed. It talked about how big his bed was. That lets me know that perhaps one of the biggest giants we're fighting against is laziness. People that don't want to go. You don't want to shape your personality to be a soul winner. You want to seclude yourself and isolate yourself. Amen. Is that not a bed where you can rest your head and get comfortable in your own little island and in your own little world? Why don't you just come out of bed and be the giant that the Lord has anointed you to be and conquer your world and overcome the enemy so we can have the revival God has appointed us to have? Don't wait for me to preach good to worship good. I'll preach good sometime, but why don't you worship now? Amen. Don't wait for me to do what's got to be done, and why don't we just join together and get it done together? I had a visitor to tell me this morning. He said, I love the way this church operates. I love the singing. I love the worship. I love the praise. He said, I love the way they respond to your preaching. I love your preaching. I said, that's quite a compliment. And that's very encouraging to me. I said, because it takes the platform, it takes the pulpit, and it takes the whole sanctuary to create what God is up to. He said, I am totally with you. It takes a group. It takes a team. I said, you're absolutely right. He said, and you've got a good team. You ought to clap your hands to one another. You ought to praise God for one another, because we have got a team. We have got a church, and we are going to have that revival. Amen. 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 That was good enough for David to know that the reproach was going to be lifted. I've seen some things in my walk with God that makes me want more from the kingdom of God. makes me want to get closer to my... I like what that one missionary said when I was a teenager. I just never forgot it. Amen. He said, he's from Africa, and he said, I want my Papa God. Hallelujah. I love my Papa God. And sure enough, I've been to these third world countries, and that's the way they pray. When they talk to God, they call him Papa. They call him Papa God. Papa God. Amen. Tori, you ought to like that. Praise God. Amen. Somebody ought to just say Papa God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he is our everlasting Father. And in Africa, that's what Papa means. He's my Father. Hallelujah. He's everything to me, and he's everything. Amen. There is a cause, and it is a cause to please our Papa God. It is a cause to bring him joy. It is a cause to lift the reproach. It is a cause for revival. It's a cause for evangelism. It's a cause for church growth. It's a cause for holiness, righteousness before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Closeness comes through dedication to the cause. Hallelujah. I could care less about myself. With this attitude, I know God will take care of me. Hallelujah. Amen. What shall be done? Get out of the trench. Get after the giant. Let me tell you something about the giant. He didn't even know it. He was trespassing. That little valley he stood in was Soko. And Soko belonged to Judah. Judah is God's praise. That's what it means. It was the place of praise. And the enemy of the church didn't know it, but he was standing right in the middle of the sanctuary. Of course, he didn't know what a sanctuary was. And so he was big, bad, and bold. And he declared everything. He was going, I'll feed your carcass to the dogs or whatever. And David's like, really? When I come to you in the name of the Lord? I don't think so. Amen. And so it was. And David conquered him, because you don't come in this house and come against the Spirit of God and come against the anointing of God. You don't touch the anointed of God. Amen. I'm talking to a bunch of folks out there that are anointed of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, when the enemy touches you, he better beware, because God's got his eyes on that. I've seen that firsthand. Amen. I've had, as a teenager, trying to work a job, and I was single. I would have men tease me about things and make fun of me about things, and I would just take it to the Lord and pray about it and say, Lord, what is his deal? What is the attitude? Why has he got to talk like that and act like that just because I'm a young man trying to live for God? And the Lord said, I'll take care of it. Amen. And then all of a sudden, he was gone from the job. About 3 months later, he came back. He had a little limp. And I said, what's wrong with you? He said, some guys got a hold of me, held me down, and they spun their tires on my leg. I said, okay. Sure has been heaven around here. Hallelujah. I feel bad about your leg and everything, but it's been the Holy Ghost has been with me around this house while you've been gone. Amen. And I can just go on and on. But I'm telling you, if you're anointed of God and you're appointed of the Lord and you're seeking to please him and he means everything, I'm telling you, you're under the mandate of apostolic protection, and the Spirit of God is walking with you. There are two angels that are going to stick to you like glue, and they're called goodness and mercy. And God has prepared all of that for you. Amen. To protect you and keep you. Hey, some of us need to realize what we've got, because we got a lot when we got the Holy Ghost. Closeness. Amen. And it all comes through the cause. Amen. Dedicating yourself to the cause. Praise God. If God, what shall be done? What shall be? And then I got a scripture that says, if God be for us, what can be against us? Is that not good enough to fight the battle? What will be given to us? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that not good enough? Is that not a good enough reward? Sin, carnality, spiritual wickedness. It's all of that's a reproach to God. We know that. Amen. So God, Give us heroes where things don't matter. Stuff doesn't matter. Money, land. Is there not a cause? I may die, but there is a cause that's going to go on. I want to bring glory to His name. The Bible said that a locust will crawl over the body of its dead comrades to move forward and to devour the land. Amen. I know there's a lot of take on all of that scripture right there, and that's a catastrophe, and they ate everything and people didn't have stuff left. Amen. But I look at things a little different, praise God. Amen. I look at us kind of like those locusts, and we're crawling across this world and we're taking it by storm. Some of us may not make it as far as others, and we may go on to our reward. And so we crawl over the bodies of our dead comrades and we continue to go on. If we lose one another, we don't stop. If somebody passes away, we don't stop. If somebody steps out of the church, we don't stop. Amen. We've got to move on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so it is. Praise God. Pastor, how do we do that? How do we go on like that? Amen. Well, the Bible says, first of all, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Ghost and you've not stirred the gift of God up within you in a while, why don't you shake it up a little bit? Amen. Was it Paul that told Timothy, stir and shake the gift of God up that is within you? We have the gift. Sometimes we just need to shake it. I got that from Samson. Amen. I got that from Job. Job said, the Lord hath grabbed me by my neck and he hath shaken me. And also I got a message from a deodorant can. It said, shake well before using. And I preached a fire out of it. Praise the Lord. And sometimes God's just got to shake it well before he can use it. Let's let him shake it so he can make it. Right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. We got to recognize it, and then we got to realize it. We got to refresh it, and we got to renew it. And then we've got to activate it and navigate it. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm coming into this business right here. Is there anybody in there you'd like me to make contact with? Holy Ghost, I'm fixing to make some calls. Is there anybody you want me to talk to about the church and invite? Lord, I'm fixing to go in here and do this and fixing to be in here for a while. Let me know if there's anybody I can talk to or anybody that you're reaching out to or somebody that has a need or somebody that needs prayer or anything like that. Lord, would you let me? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual and they're mighty. They pull down strongholds. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The giants are out there, but greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. I know that means the devil, but couldn't it also mean me? Greater is he that is within me. I can't rely on myself. My own thoughts, my own opinions. I got to walk with God if I'm going to fulfill the will. Praise God. And so we've got the power. We are the heroes of this world. And if we refuse to be the heroes and become zeros, there are no heroes in this world. We're living in an hour that God is equipping us to tear down strongholds. We're not running. We're not digging trenches to hide. There is a cause. Amen. And I'm just saying, Satan, if you're looking for the church, you don't need to look any longer. She has arrived. We will not have a reproach on the name of our God. Galatians chapter 1, Paul was an apostle. Amen. He said, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ. Those that have turned the world upside down, they said about Paul and his bunch, they said that those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. That was in Thessalonica. It took them 20 years to get there. It's taken us 27 years to get where we are, but we're here. And so I'm saying, those that are turning the world upside down have come hither also. Have we come? Are we here? Do you believe it? Where are the heroes? Not the fake it till you make it, not the plastic, not the gripe and complain, not the hypocrite, and not the proud. But by God, the ones that will not allow reproach to come to his name. Is there not a cause? There's a world that is bleeding with brokenness. They're hiding from the giant. They're starving in trenches. Where are you, David? Where are you? Is there not a cause? I want you to stand with me tonight. Praise God. I want to ask the church to join with me in the cause. I want you to come to the fight. And I want you to pick up your rock. You see, that rock that David picked up was more than just a rock. That had some future tense to it. That had parables galore about it. Amen. It was smooth. Are you hearing me? That rock was smooth from storms. There are people that are not here because of their storms. It flooded them out. It washed them away. They died from the lightning. The wind blew them out. The darkness that comes with the storm confused them. For one reason or another, they didn't just sit still and let the Lord smooth all of that rough edge out through the storm. Because I'm telling you, when we're blessed, we can't hear God if he screams at us sometimes. But when we're going through a storm, we can hear him whisper. Because all ears are on the voice of God. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. And so through the years, that stone sat there. And the storms smoothed it out. That rock was washed over by much water. Man, could we talk about baptism? The rock was given direction by a man after God's own heart. Wow. It waited and waited. And it waited. And it waited some more. And then it waited even longer. And finally, it felt the grip of the man of God. And was used to bring one of the greatest revivals Israel ever witnessed. Because it destroyed her enemy. While you've been waiting, the Lord has had his eyes on you. I'm going to ask somebody to come and pick up your rock. Just come. And let the Lord saturate and permeate you with a burden, a desire, a commitment, a dedication. It was the foundation. That rock represented the foundation of the church. Because he said upon this rock. So it represented Jesus himself. That rock killed the giant that confronted God's people. David, I don't know where you are. You're male, you're female. You're young, you're middle-aged. You're old. But you're here. Where are you, David? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? David, find your rock. His name is Jesus. Put him close by. There's a giant. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. David, he wants your family. Don't let him have it. Recognize what you got. Use it. And God will be with you. He'll walk with you. He'll talk to you. He'll guide you and direct you, and he'll give you leadership. You go and you conquer and you overcome and come back and give us the report and build all the rest of our faith. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake hands. Be friendly. Greet one another. Thank you for being in church this evening.